good works. That's what we're talking about this morning. Just a review, basically. I think we all have heard these things. We all know these things. And just to kind of get in our minds the fact that we need to be busy about the Lord's business. You know, we think about good works. You think about the church in particular. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, it says, "It's the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours." So basically, the church is those who are gathered, those who assemble in every place, who call on the name of the Lord. Very simple definition. And so we as a church are expected to do good works. We as a church are called upon to do good works. In fact, we are to exhort one another to do good works. He says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." You know, last night we talked about forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but rather to exhort one another. We talked about exhortation. But a part of that assembly is also to provoke or to cause us to think about and to do and to accomplish good works. Things that are that we as a congregation, that we as individuals need to be busy about the Lord's business. You think about what are these things? What are they exactly? Well, it's difficult to say what a good work exactly would be, but he says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. These things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So what are we to be doing? We're to be doing things that are honest, sincere, just, pure, of good report, virtuous, good quality. These are the things that we're to be busy doing. Now, I know everybody, and they're very quick to point this out, almost to the point that it nullifies the idea of good works, is that we're not saved by good works. And that's a true statement. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Well, it's true. It does save us, but what does it do is it brings us closer to what God would have us to be. It brings us closer to living a life that is reflective of Christ. It brings us closer to God. It brings us closer to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are called to do those good works. It says, "After that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done." He said, "But according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Now listen to what he says. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that ye should walk in them." God has already ordained, He's already set aside, He's already appointed, He's already made it known that those of us who wish to follow Him will maintain good works. So yes, we're not saved by works. I understand that. You understand that. We all understand that. That does not excuse us from doing good works. It does not say that we don't have to do anything to be saved. I've heard people say, "You don't have to do anything." Yes, you do. Yes, you do. James says, "Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works." By my works. If we have faith in the Lord, if we have faith in God, if we are called according to His purpose, we will want to do good things. We will want to accomplish things, so that His name might be glorified. Not for our own sake, not for our purpose, but for His. the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We've got to be ready. Ready for every good work. Ready to do what God would have us to do. He said, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready for every good work. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. These things will help. These things help us, they help other people. They're things that we need to do. Let's also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. You know, there are times when good works are necessary. You think, well, what do you mean by that? Well, think about now, if somebody is destitute and they're hungry, you say, well, I would give them a sandwich. That'd be a good work. Yes, that is necessary. Necessary, or they're going to go hungry. We think about the work in Africa, and it gets me all stirred up when I think about people starving to death. And you think, well, if we send the money, it's just going to be a drop in the bucket. Well, that's true. But is that not necessary that people eat to live? You know, and you think about what does it mean? What does it mean to do a good work? It's, some of them are just flat out something that has to be done, and God's left it to us. Could God wave his magic wand or whatever it is and say, well, you know, they're not hungry anymore? Absolutely. But what does he do? He shows, wants us to show, rather, our faith in him, our desire to do good works, our desire to be like Christ, and he leaves us work to do. He leaves us a chance to prove ourselves. He leaves us a chance to be able to say, you know, I've done a little bit for the Lord. And to do it in his name. And to do it so that he is glorified. Not that we be glorified, but that he be glorified. They are to bring glory to God in all things. Ye are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know, if you want to bring people to Christ, if you want people to think, you know, maybe Christianity is what I ought to be thinking about, then you need to show them a lifestyle that has some sort of draw to it, that has some sort of a positive aspect to it. You know, if you think Christianity is 40 minutes or 45 minutes on Sunday morning, sitting in a seat right quick and then running off to the golden crowd or whatever, you're sadly mistaken. That's not Christianity. Maybe, I don't know what you call it, religion? I don't know. I don't know what you call it, but it's not Christianity. Christianity is every day, every moment of your life, looking to do good for other people. You know, you see it, and I don't want to just, you know, harp on traffic or anything like that, but you see it in traffic all the time. I hear people all the time riding with me. Well, why did that bozo just let up a little and let you in? And we think about that all the time. You see that? Why didn't so-and-so just wait till I got past before he pulled out? Why? And you think, these aren't good works. But are they? To take a moment to help a fellow human being? Is that not a good work? I mean, I don't mean to say you go to heaven if you let somebody out in traffic. That's not what I'm saying. But the point is, why do we not look to do good to others? You know, I bought a van this summer, I suppose. Maybe spring, I don't know. Anyway, I bought a van. On the back of it said Lighthouse Christian Academy. That's where I work. And bought it off one of the parents. And it'd been a time or two, I think to myself, oh, shit, sticker wasn't on the back. I wish that sticker wasn't back there telling everybody I was a Christian. That might not look too good if I cut them off. It almost reminds you of the joke a fella used to tell about the policeman pulled a woman over and got his guns out, told her to get out of the car and treat her like a felon. And she said, what's the matter? And he looked at her paperwork and found out, yeah, she belonged to her. He said, I thought the car was stolen. He said, the way you was acting, I looked on the back and there was a Christian sticker. I thought maybe somebody stole your car because you're not acting like a Christian. We do that. City that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Our works are to glorify God. They're to glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Have your conversation, your lifestyle, the way you do things, the way you act, honest among the Gentiles. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. Are Christians spoken of as evildoers? Yes. Yes, they are. I'll give you a perfect example. This last few months, we've had exposure in the national media for the place where I work, school where I work. Because Mike Pence was our governor, I think, is the main reason. And now he's vice president. So they're looking at everything he ever did. And he came to see us a couple of years ago. He had come on the Veterans Day, give a little speech, you know. And he is a big supporter of school vouchers. And we get a good deal of money from the state with school vouchers. The thing is people who probably would have went there anyway. But anyway, they get a little bit. Our education system is paid for with property tax money. So everybody in Indiana pays a good deal of money to their county, then that goes almost directly to the school system. Well, Indiana's set up to where you can get a voucher. You get up to half of what they would have paid to educate them in a public school, and then based on income, you get 90 or 50% of that. And the rest of the money goes to the school where the child would have went. So in other words, if we get $5,000 from the state to educate a child for a year, the school, public school down the road, gets $5,000 from the state for the same child and don't even have to look at it, doesn't even know it's there. And so it's not a bad system. This shows basically the private folks can do it for about half of what the government can do it for. But the point is, our policy says that we do not support parents who have alternative lifestyles. All right? That's ACSI folks put that in there because you need that. It's called a discriminatory policy. You know, you always see non-discriminatory policy. We have a discriminatory policy. We don't take people whose parents are living in odd lifestyle situations. Nor do we take people who struggle with, you know, alcoholism or drugs or any other thing. I mean, it's all in there. And really what it is basically the sins that Paul listed. Now, naturally, we know that people aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. And we know that people commit sin. But the point is, if somebody's living an outward rebellious life towards Christ, you know, that's not the kind of person that we want to partner with. And that, you know, we're not saying that they're doomed. We're just saying we don't want to partner with them. All right? Now, that became national news. I don't know if y'all saw or not. It hit the AP press about 2 weeks ago. If you missed it, it's still on there probably. Anyway, people started giving us death threats. People wanted to burn the school. people said, you know, how dare you steal money from the government? Like, you know, Christians don't pay property tax. I don't know if you realize that or not. Apparently, we don't ever have to pay it, which is a big surprise to me on May and November when I write that big whopping check to the government. But apparently, we don't pay property tax, so we don't have any real money to invest there. But anyway, they go on and on saying, you know, that's not a Christian attitude. How dare you? How is it not a Christian attitude? Well, it's because it enforces what the Bible says. You realize that people aren't really interested in what the Bible says. I have a lot of people tell me what it means to be a Christian that have never been in the house of the Lord, who probably have never opened a Bible. And yet they pretend to know what a Christian ought to be. Now, the reason I say all that is to say this. If our conversation, our lifestyle, the way we conduct ourselves is honest and it is sincere and it is full of good works, even though they speak against you as an evildoer, even though they threaten your life, threaten to burn your buildings, threaten to do whatever, if you, by your good works, show them what it is to be a Christian, they may, by your good works, be drawn to that. In the day of visitation, it says, God's given everybody an opportunity. God's not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should come to eternal life, right? So at some point in their life, He's going to put that in front of them so they can make a decision. And He's going to say, look, this is what it means to follow Me, and this is what it means to follow the world. Make your decision. And if we have a lifestyle that's showing the goodness of God, that's showing the greatness of God, not for our benefit, but to show His, perhaps, just perhaps, they will glorify God. It is necessary for us to do that, to be like Jesus. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Perfect means complete. Doesn't mean we don't make any mistakes. It means that we are now complete and whole in Christ. Everyone who is complete, everyone who has become a disciple of God, of Jesus, will be as his master was. As his master. You know how the God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God was with him. God helped Jesus. Jesus was God in the flesh. I mean, however you want to say it. But Jesus went about doing good works. He healed those that were oppressed. He healed those who were ill. He helped. Every opportunity he had, he helped. He fed the 5,000. He fed the you know, why? Why do you think he done things like this? It was to glorify God. To show God was caring about his people. To show that God loved his people. It demonstrates our faith in a living way when we have these good works. What did the prophet, my brethren, though man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 20, he said, but wilt thou know, vain man, that faith without works is dead. Verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. You cannot say you're a Christian and not have a heart to help other people. You can't do it. You can't walk up to see somebody that's obviously hungry and thirsty and say, oh, well, be warm, be full. See you. Got to go off tea time. I'll see you. Faith without works is dead. If we don't do these things, God's not going to look kindly upon us for that. they prepare unbelievers to believe. Do you realize that? When they see these good works, when they glorify God, it prepares them for the gospel. Remember, we read this earlier. Have your conversation honest, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Because of the works that you do, because of the faith that you've shown through your works. He says, likewise, you wives, be subject to your own husbands, and if any obey not the word, that they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. All right, if you have a husband that doesn't believe, he's telling the wives here, if you live a Christian life in front of them, they may, even without the word, even without the Bible, they may be drawn to Christianity because of your lifestyle. You see the effect that we have on people by our example, by the way we live our life. We have to appreciate the importance of good works. Clear understanding that Christians must have good works in the Christian life. We pure religion undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Pure religion. Visit the fatherless and the widows. Now you can't help but think that there's going to be some profound statement that's made. Pure religion undefiled before God the Father is this. What? Visit the fatherless and the widow. Keep himself unspotted for the world. That's it. Father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. Good role model is Job. Job said, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him, the blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. He said, I delivered the poor. I helped the fatherless. I helped people that didn't have anybody to help them. And he said, they blessed me for it. They blessed me. How about Tabitha? Now, Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is by interpretation Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. It came to pass in those days she was sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper chamber. For as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they said to him, two men desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Peter rose and went up with them, and when he was come, they brought him to the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and the garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Every time I read this, think about this. I think about a little old lady that used to live years ago. She was a member of the church, and she got up into age, and she was well into her 90s when they took her to a nursing home. And she was still really sharp. She just couldn't, you know, take care of herself anymore. And we'd all go visit her. That was the thing to do, was, you know, go visit Floey on Sunday. And we'd go out and see her, and you think now, when you're visiting her, you're doing good work, you know, because she's a widow lady and all that. But that never was the way it quite turned out. Now, it always turned out that she blessed me when I went. In her later years, you know, I had to talk to her through my wife. Because she got her hearing got so bad, she couldn't hear a deeper voice, but she could still hear a high-pitched voice. And so I would talk to her through Chris. But, you know, it's just amazing to me. Somebody laying there, you know, that can't hear, probably couldn't half see. I know she couldn't. And yet here I was in my 20s, you know, young man full of vim and vinegar, and she was blessing me. And before her eyesight got real bad, she used to make these little house slippers. And she made them out of granny squares. Those of you who have ever done anything, you know what a granny square is. It's just a square that you crochet, and it comes out square. And she would make these, and then she would sew them together and make half slippers out of them. And everybody that went to see her at one time or another, she would, you know, say, well, what size foot have you got, you know? And then the next time you go see her, you'd have a pair of house slippers. And them was the ugliest thing that ever was. I mean, tell you what, they was ugly. And her, it's like walking on Legos, man. It was this bad. But I wouldn't take anything for her. You know? And here she is again in a nursing home, can't do nothing hardly, making people something. And when I think of Dorcas and I see this and I hear her talk about that, they showed her the coats that she made when she was with them. She was just full of good works, it says. Just full of them. And I think, what are they going to talk about me when I'm gone? I had a really good score on Facebook. You know, what are they going to say? We are to be practicing pure religion and undefiled before God the Father. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessity and to them that were with me. Paul said, look, I've done this thing. I worked. I took care of myself. I even helped the people that was with me. He said, now it's your turn. It's your turn to help. We're to support one another. He said, we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Good work isn't always, you know, in our mind, in my mind at least, I always want to go straight to monetary. It doesn't have anything to do, most of the time, it has nothing to do with money. It has to do with supporting, it has to do with loving, it has to do with caring. You know, send somebody a get well card is a good word. Support them that are unruly, comfort the feeble minded, support the weak. Be patient toward all men. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I love these scriptures that we're reading this morning because they show me how very simplistic Christianity is. Very simple it is. Are we fulfilling the law of Christ? Are we fulfilling? That's the question. When the sun was setting, all they had any sick with divers diseases brought them all unto him. He laid hands on every one of them and healed them. That's what Jesus done in his spare time. He sent around healing people. Now, I know we can't do that. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's what his purpose was. That's what his ministry was, to preach the kingdom, to heal the sick. And of course, we can't heal the sick. I tell you what we can do is we can pray for the sick. Heal the sick that are in, say to them, the kingdom of God has come nigh to you. That was his charge to his disciples, but we can't do that, but we can pray. We can pray with folks that are sick. We can tell them we care. We can love them. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. It's the first thing you do when you're sick. Go to the doctor, right? Go to medicine cabinet maybe first, try a little something. That don't work, then you go to the doctor. He don't work, go to a different doctor. That don't work, go to the hospital. And then when you're in the hospital and it's looking grim, the doctor says, well, I'm just not sure what's wrong. I just don't know. Hey, let's call somebody and get a prayer. See how backwards that really is? See how messed up that really is? How much faith are we showing in God when we say, you know, let's try everything we can first before we go to God? Try everything. I'm not saying it's wrong to go to the doctor. Don't get me wrong. I'd go to the doctor with the best of them. You know, I'd have a problem with that. Lord, give them abilities. Lord, give us medicines. He gives us all kinds of good things. And we need to use them. But we also need to understand that our first priority should be to go to God. Let Him pray. Let Him, you know, we might save ourselves a whole lot of mess if we would just do what the Bible tells us we should do. We should show hospitality. He said, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Some have entertained angels by entertaining strangers. Distributing the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Let not a widow be taken under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. Do we show kindness to strangers? Do we show kindness to our brothers and sisters in Christ? We need to remember, even the prisoners, remember those that are in bonds and bound with them. Then we suffer adversities, being yourselves also in the body. Naturally, we're thinking more along the lines of people who are persecuted for Christianity. But even all prisoners, they all have a soul. For ye had compassion on me in my bonds, took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. They sent him supplies when he was in prison. They helped him out. And he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and let him have liberty. And he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. That was Paul's lot in Rome. Do we remember our brethren? Notwithstanding, you've done well that you did communicate with my affliction, but I have all and abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. We should be ready to share both what we have and our love and our kindness one to another. If we have this world's good, he said, we brought nothing into this world, it's certain we carry nothing out. He said, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. You know, if we have this world's goods, if we have been blessed, then we need to share those things. We need to share them. It's a type of spiritual sacrifice, and it's pleasing to God. He said, but to do good, communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So do good. Communicate one to another. Talk to one another. Know what's going on. Now, I can't help you if I don't know what's going on with your life. And I can't know what's going on for your life with your life if I don't communicate to you. We're to do good one another. We have opportunity to do good to all men, especially to them who are of the household of faith. Let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well doing. You know, that's something, I don't know if you read the little blasts that come from Africa. If you've noticed, the brother Winston is very adamant about that every time. He says, please don't get tired of helping us. Please don't get weary. Because he knows, just like I know and you know, that after you help somebody so many times, you're like, goodness, can they not help themselves? Well, don't think that's our decision. Don't think that's our call. Don't think that's what we need to be thinking. If somebody needs help, we need to help. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, this is the judgment, this is Christ, this is what he's saying to those who have been accepted. He said, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And here's why. Listen to what he says. I was a hunger, ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came to thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. One of the least of these my brethren. Indeed, with the aid of the inspired word of God, we are able to do all things for God. We are able to do so much. And that's what God's looking for. That's what Jesus said. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Good work, that's what it's all about. You know, we read these passages, a lot of times I'll read these passages, and the good works part just kind of trails off on the end. The good works part always is like, well, that's just a part of it. No, that's the deal. That's what it's about. That's what we're called to do. That's what the Scriptures teach us how to do. That's how we show our love. That's how we show our faith. And ultimately, that'll be what saves us. Because that's what Jesus said there at the judgment. He said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. Little simple things. Little good works. Not you know, you memorized the Bible frontwards and backwards. Not, you know, you visited seven continents or none of that. He says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. Good works. I encourage you this morning to maintain good works. To be careful to maintain those good works. That is what the Lord requires of us. If you're here this morning, you need to help with the church in any way, please feel free to come forward, make your wants and wishes known while together we stand.